We reported earlier this year on an economic development project to grow lavender on former strip mines in West Virginia. After the story aired, we heard from a number of students involved in the program saying they were disappointed and felt misled by the outcomes of the project called Green Mining. West Virginia Public Broadcasting revisited the story to find out what happened and if the project is still going as expected. First, some background. Back in 2014, then-West Virginia Governor Earl Ray Tomlin asked the West Virginia Regional Technology Park to come up with some ideas that could help generate new jobs for displaced coal miners in southern West Virginia. The idea that the CEO of the technology park, Rusty Kruseluk, had was to grow lavender on former strip mines.
The project for the Green Mining Project was one way that we thought that we could help take displaced mine workers and instead of a mining for coal, perhaps work on mine reclamation.
In 2016, the project was awarded grants through the Benedum Foundation, then the Appalachian Regional Commission, to fund the first couple of years of the Green Mining Program. In the interest of full disclosure, both of these organizations have also provided funding to West Virginia Public Broadcasting. 17 other companies also donated time and resources toward the first phase of the Lavender Project. The technology park offered classes to teach people how to grow lavender, and they paid the students a $10 an hour stipend to attend classes. The project attracted 47 students in 2017, including several from out of state.
So we sold everything we owned, packed up our little car, drove 9 hours to West Virginia.
Veterans Deborah and her husband Scott Ritchie moved to West Virginia from Florida with their daughter because they heard about the Green Mining Program.
Came here to be lavender farmers. We were supposed to get a deal to where once we graduate the school, they were supposed to give each vet, because both of us are vets, they're supposed to give each vet 2 acres of land. And we went to the school, graduated the school, and went to go talk about the land and nothing. No call back, no email return, nothing.
They say they were told that following the six-week course, they would have the option of growing lavender on a mine site to help raise some supplemental income. But that didn't happen.
I definitely learned not to put all my eggs in one basket, that's for sure. We pretty much put all our eggs in this basket, and the basket got knocked off the table.
Other students we spoke to said they had also been led to believe that they would be offered land to grow lavender on after their six-week training course. Another veteran, Amber Stanley, lives just outside Charleston. She has a small garden, some chickens, and was looking forward to the opportunity to grow lavender up on the mine site.
Now I'm feeling pretty misled, and I also feel a little bit exploited.
So what happened? The project's main organizer, Rusty Kruseluk, says the grant money simply ran out. They couldn't pay their staff anymore, so they couldn't continue the next phase of the project. I asked him what about the students who say they're disappointed, people like Amber, Scott, and Deborah.
We apologize if that's the impression. We weren't aware of that, but we certainly reached out in the springtime to as many people as we could, but we'll do everything we can to rectify that in the future.
An hour after we recorded this interview with Kruseluk, a volunteer with the Green Mining Project did send an email to the former students asking if they would want to be a part of a new phase of their project, a lavender growing cooperative. The students from last year's class we talked to all said it was the first time they had heard from the program in 7 months. The idea behind the cooperative, in part, is to get former students to help maintain the existing lavender fields as volunteers. I visited the mine site to see how the plants had fared through the winter.
It's pretty quiet up here on the mine site. Not a lot of people. A black bear crossed in front of our path earlier, down below on the road. And we have some bullfrogs here in a little pond with cattails.
Not far from the cattail pond, the gray moonscape soil now has some purple growing on it. Nearly a year since I was here last, small plants of English and French varieties of lavender dot the rocky fields. A little over 3,000 of the lavender plants survived the winter. Kruseluk says that's about half of what they planted last year. A few volunteers, and at least one person who's been paid part-time, has been up here in the past few months weeding the fields. Most of that weeding work has been done by Lori Bailey. She heard about the Lavender Project from a news story and reached out to see how she could get involved.
I was like, that is so cool. I mean, I just thought it was the greatest thing.
because there's so much land that's had mountaintop removal, and I just think it's great that we're trying to do something to make that look beautiful again.
But without Bailey and a handful of volunteers up here, the lavender plants might have been overtaken by weeds. That's still a risk if they don't find a way to keep the volunteers engaged or figure out how to pay people to keep maintaining these fields.
The last thing you want to do is go out and plant 2,000, 10,000 acres and then not have anybody to work it or not have anybody take care of it.
This is from an interview we recorded last year with one of the project's main organizers, Marina Sawyer.
If we don't have the, you know, the workforce or the students coming out to do that kind of work, then you end up losing valuable plants, and that we're not about that either.
But a few months after this interview, Sawyer and the other staff were all let go because they were only contracted to work on a one-year grant, and the funding ran out. We reached out to the Appalachian Regional Commission, which funded the project last year, to ask them if they're happy with the project's outcomes. They didn't want to do an interview, but Wendy Wasserman, Director of Communications, sent the following statement. This project proves that Appalachia's coal-impacted communities are well-positioned for innovative economic development. The green mining team identified an asset, did the research, and literally got their hands dirty. Now a series of new value-added products using Appalachian-grown lavender are headed to market, end quote. Wasserman says the project was turned down for a second round of funding from the ARC because so many other projects applied for funding, and the application process was incredibly competitive this year. Meanwhile, Rusty Krusilak says that in a few years, he hopes these fields of lavender will be producing enough essential oil that they can earn some income for the project.
Well, most of our revenue down the road is going to be using shared processes. Once we get oil production, we're going to use the shared revenues to make the whole foundation self-sustaining.
And the technology park does have the equipment and the chemical expertise to produce that oil. But they won't be producing very much oil anytime soon, not for at least another year or two, until the lavender plants are big enough. So in the meantime, how will the project support itself, maintain the fields of lavender? Krusilak says although they didn't receive a second year of funding from the ARC's Power Plus program, he says they are going to try again later this fall. And he says the handful of volunteers will help keep it going. At this time, there are about 5 students still involved helping see the project grow. Not among them is Deborah and Scott Ritchie, who say they just don't know if they have trust in the program anymore.
So for me, this was a new chapter, a new leaf, a new adventure, and I just got shot down. And it kind of put me back to that, well, why am I even trying thought process. So I was angry. I was real angry and disappointed.
She says it was nice to see the recent email that the project hasn't gone completely underground, but they don't have time to spend volunteering on the mine site, not at this time anyway. At this point, the Ritchies are just struggling to pay their own bills. Deborah got a job at a gas station, and her husband Scott is still looking for a job. They say they aren't sure if they'll stay in West Virginia or if they plan to leave the state in search of work. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd.